Welcome to Fix the World with me, Katie Tracy, and my learned friend, Sam Avery. We are two comedians who are here to help you fix the problems that affect you.
And us as well.
And us.
We've got plenty of problems, and we'll be bringing them, all that baggage, emotional, spiritual baggage with us.
We're not doctors. I'm just going to put that out there now. So those kinds of problems, seek professional advice, guys.
I would hate to be a doctor or a dentist or anyone who works with the human body, because people must ask you all the time to do your job at parties and social events.
When I broke my leg at a wedding in Cyprus, there was an A&E doctor in the wedding party.
Wow.
And I thought I'd only sprained it, so I'd been swimming and everything. I was just wandering around on my leg, and he come to the pub. We all met at the pub, and I went, "Niall, just look at my leg dead quick." Like, as though like it was seven, eight years of medical training for me to go, "Can you just have a quick look at my leg?" And he just took one look at it and went, "Yeah, that's broken."
I could see the bone.
And I went, "Oh, well, I'm flying home tomorrow. I'll get it seen to then."
And did you?
And then I did the conga. I didn't.
How many people do you need to do a conga? I think it's at least three, isn't it? Two's not a conga.
Three is a bit sad, isn't it?
Three's sad. Two's sad. One's
the same
not...
for fancy dress. How many people do you need to have a like legitimate fancy dress group on a night out?
I think five. Five. It's a good number. We did three once. We dressed up as the Beastie Boys from the Sabotage video at a legitimate fancy dress party, and then me and my two mates went to the Crazy House in town. And I met some girl who I was sort of seeing at the time. And I had a blonde afro wig on and a big velvet trench coat.
This seems like another story where Sam kisses a girl in the Crazy House, guys.
No, she wouldn't go near me, because I kept doing this funny dance with my arms. And she was just like, I think at one point she said, "Stop doing that." And I was like, okay. In fact, I remember saying to this girl, she said to me, "Listen, Sam, I need to tell you this. I only slept with you because I was trying to get over my ex-boyfriend." And I said, "Did it work?" And she said, "No." And I said, do you want to try again?" And she said, "No."
And then she got back with her ex-boyfriend.
That was it. Probably. And
I went out on fancy dress on Halloween, it was.
Good choice.
Two of us as Daphne and Velma from, just two of us, by the way.
Oh, that's
as
bold.
Daphne and Velma from Scooby-Doo. And I was Daphne with this like long ginger wig, and we thought we looked really authentic, and we were in pink. Remember pink?
Yeah.
And I walked in, and the DJ just shouted, "Bianca!"
Oh no!
And I was like,
in Bianca from EastEnders.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the thing with fancy dress. You've got to nail it, or else.
If I wore the wig and your Beastie Boys bubble coat, I would have looked like Bianca.
I've still got that coat somewhere. You know, it's an amazing coat. It came from India in the 60s. It's like, if it got wet, you would not be able to walk.
Yeah.
It's massive. So we've got some problems, haven't we, to fix?
We have.
This week. And our first problem this week is going to be fixing.
Fixing things. Why don't we get things fixed anymore?
People don't fix things, do they? People just throw things out.
We're such a wasteful group of people.
Group of people.
I'm talking about society.
Society.
I sounded like Brendan Rodgers then, didn't I? The group.
Yeah, the project.
Yeah. No, I think I get... I always, if my shoes are in need of attention, I always take them to the cobblers. Always. And when I worked in an office in town, and there was a cobbler's right around the corner, and I literally used to go every 2 or 3 weeks. But it was instilled in me that you look after your shoes, get them healed, and so I get a bit of stick from my mates, to be honest, because they just, once they'd worn out a pair of shoes, they threw them out, and I'd be like going, there'd be like a hole in the sole. I'm going, "These are still good, I can get these sold."
But it's amazing the job a cobbler can do, and the word cobbler is not used as much as it used to, because
it's a lovely word to say.
It's a great word, cobbler. People just use it to mock things, don't they? In fact, why do people say that? That's cobblers. Meaning that's a load of rubbish?
That's a good question.
Someone let us know. But yeah, I've had a couple of pairs of shoes fixed. We used to get the telly fixed all the time. It was always the tube, wasn't it?
The tube's gone.
The guy had come round, "Oh, the tube's gone, you need a new tube." It's like, why don't they just make the tubes better? But then TV's evolved. In fact, my father-in-law is a TV repairman.
Yeah.
And I think he just took early retirement because all these new tellies came out and he was like, I can't fix these. People just throw them out and buy a new one.
No, because new tellies are like made of liquid. Or like, is that what plasma screens are? Is it liquid?
I think plasmas are even like out of date now, aren't they? Yeah. They're all just like, what is it, LCD? No, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't feel like I understand. Yeah, I don't know how to fix things.
No.
I don't know how to...
I think the one thing you can still get fixed is your washing machine.
Yeah.
Like, without going, oh, God, may as well just buy another one.
Because pipes can just be, like,
yeah,
changed. And cars. Get your car fixed.
Get your car fixed.
How confident are you in a garage, in a car fixing situation? How do you feel?
Well, my mechanic lives in my street, and up until recently, I would have felt quite... quite yeah, good did, about it.
You did talk about this last week, didn't you?
I don't know, is the honest answer. This is how crap I am at cars. So a mechanic could just take advantage of me if they wanted. I took my car, a really old car, it's a little tiny Citroen AX, and I took it to get some part worn tyres because the car was worth about 50 pence. So I thought I was buying new tyres for it, and I took it to get part worn tyres, this like tyre place in Bootle, and the fella went, I would just want more, some part worn tyres, and he went, okay, which is your car? I went, that Peugeot over there.
It's the wrong model.
It was a Citroen. So I would say I'm not very confident in the garage.
And he must have just thought, I can just tell her whatever I want now. She doesn't
it
even
needs
know.
Tractor tyres.
What? Mm. Yeah. It needs those monster truck ones. The $4,000 each.
Tell you what, though, I was a G going back home in that car with me big tyres.
low riding or whatever they call it. Pimp bumping, is it? Bumping?
So what have you had fixed lately?
I've had new tyres on my car fixed recently.
Oh, you had your roof fixed?
I had my roof fixed. I'm one of those people, I'll look at things that need fixing and I'll think, that needs fixing, and just take no action whatsoever. I'm not like a man who can do DIY or like get involved. And when I take my car into the garage, I just feel like totally inept.
But we're stupid because we have things. We don't deserve nice things because we get them and we wait until they break and then go, oh, that needs fixing. When you get a house, nobody says to you, keep your eye on your gutters, make sure they're clear. Keep your eye on, check your roof, check this, check that. If you hear a funny noise, you just wait for something bad to happen and then it happens and you're like, oh, wasn't expecting that.
How come no one told me that water would damage everything? Why did no one teach me that in school? Because like a little bit of water will find its way through and just devastate. Like over time.
Yeah. Or like before you own your own house and you hear wind outside, you sleep peacefully knowing that the next morning you wake up and your life will be exactly the same. But when you know that potentially you've got to go and buy a load of like ridge tiles and pay a roofer to fix it all because the weather's bad, the wind keeps you awake.
The wind is filled with anxiety, isn't it? Because every gust could be that big tree in the garden that you should have got chopped down 7 years ago, falling and killing everyone. That's the thoughts I have when there's wind outside. I'm like, that tree, I'm going to be on Granada reports about a man who should have just taken action on the tree.
Should have fixed the tree. But I believe in, if a tree fell on me in the wind, it was meant to.
If a tree fell on Kate in the woods and no one was there to see it, would
anyone hear me go, help?
Who would be on the next episode of the podcast?
Who would? You'd have to end it.
I don't know. What, suicide pact?
But there's other things you can fix.
Yeah.
Fix your teeth.
You can fix your teeth. I mean, my teeth aren't as straight as they used to be, but I'm fucked if I'm fixing them. They're all right.
So do you do, fixing your teeth?
Is it what?
Do you do? It's expensive.
Yeah. And spending money on stuff that's boring. I don't mind spending money, but as you get older...
I hate spending money on boring stuff.
But it's all boring, isn't it, when you're an adult?
But vanity is something you should... If you're vain, everyone should be vain, and we are entitled to be as vain as we like. And if spending $5,000 on your teeth makes you feel better, or spending $5,000 on your boobs, or whatever you want to do, if it makes you feel better, then you should.
Or getting monster trucks on your Citroen.
Yeah.
Just do it. Thing
pimp
is,
your ride. Pimp your ride all your life.
I've got bigger problems than my teeth. if I was going to start getting work done, I'd have to get hair transplants. Then I'd get, I don't know, what else do people get done? Get my lips done.
Well, that's...
Get some pec implants.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's fixing. There's fixing and there's fixing, isn't there, Sam?
And there's ruining. I'm beyond fixing. What about fixing, like, relationships? Have you ever tried to fix a relationship? Because I've tried a couple of times and it's
I don't think it ever works.
I think there's a point, isn't there, when it just gets beyond... I think once you're trying to... You know, when you, once you say, oh, I think we need a little break and then we'll get back together, that you're not getting back together.
Or we're going to give it 6 months. And if after 6 months, yeah, like, we still hate each other, we're going to split up.
We're going to give it another 3 months and he's going to try and breathe differently because it does me fucking head in.
Oh my God, have you been listening to me on the phone, to my mates? Now, I don't think you can... Maybe you can. Maybe I'm not a patient person with that.
Some people go to, like, marriage counselling and they say it really works for them, don't they? But, like, you know, I don't know. I just think... I think if it's not working, it's not working. But then I suppose if you put loads of effort in and time together and it's like an investment, yeah, in it, you don't want to...
But it's one thing not working and walking away. It's another thing having a relationship that moves in cycles. So you do have days where you just go, I hate you.
Oh, yeah.
They hate me, whatever.
Isn't that every relationship? Or
but
should...
then, you know, you go... I'd still rather hate you than like somebody else.
And that should be a wedding vow.
I want to, yeah, if I'm not married, if I ever got married, that's...
I'd rather hate you than love somebody else, yeah, or like somebody else.
Yeah.
That's kind of beautiful.
It is. Put that in a Hallmark card.
Put that on a bumper sticker. You should be a therapist.
Sure, yeah.
Do you hate him though? I do. Do you really hate him though? Would you rather hate him or like somebody else? Oh, actually, that's a good point.
Me and me fella have talked about what we would do if we ever split up, and I was like, I wouldn't bother having another relationship. And he went, no, I wouldn't either. And I was like, yeah, I think you would. He's like, no. And I went, I just couldn't be asked going all them years to get to this point again.
Yeah.
I just have to go, no, it's been a long slog. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes slug. It's brilliant, but you just it's a lot of years to put into something.
Well, it's like playing snakes and ladders, isn't it? And just going back to the beginning and just going, oh, I was nearly at the end, and now I've rolled the three, and oh, look at that, I'm on space three now,
back to stage one again. But also I've got like 12 years on me since I got with him, so going back to stage one at this age, yeah, I'd just be like, it's not worth it.
No, I couldn't be holding a fart in now at this point. It's like, it's funny because my mum was in...
Oh, so you'll hold a fart in with the other people? But wait.
Because you get past that point and it's kind of nice, innit? And my mum was in hospital over Christmas and she's fine now. Everything's great. But my dad was saying every time she does a little trump, like the doctors used to say, that's really healthy, that, you know, for you, it's really healthy. So every time she farts, my mum and dad go, that's healthy, that. So me and Rachel have started doing it at home. We're just doing big, audible fart and just go, that's healthy, that.
We're so healthy.
Just God, that smells really healthy, Jesus. Yeah, I don't think I could go back to that whole, like, yeah, you know, because at the beginning of a relationship, you're trying to pretend to be...
The best version of yourself.
That's it, the best version of yourself. And you can't keep that up because it's exhausting. You know, at some point, the real you's going to come out.
I think you should just go all in and go into the relationship being the worst version of yourself. And if they still want to be with you, then you've hit the jackpot, really.
What's that quote? If you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. And I said that once after a particularly bad ale fart. And I don't think that's what Marilyn Monroe was thinking when she said that quote.
It was meant to be motivational.
It wasn't about flatulence, was it?
Nobody printed that on a tea towel for you to take advantage of it in such an immoral way.
Yeah. But people should fix stuff. People should take care. People should just, you know, it's like it's the thing about the gutters. That's probably quite a nice analogy, isn't it? It's looking at the gutters, not on your house, but in your life. And what are the small things that you can fix that will stop the big things from collapsing in on your head?
You know what I did over lockdown, because it was dead boring? I sewed the toes of my fella's work socks, because he had big woolly socks, yeah, to go under his work boots. And for some reason, he puts a hole in the toe of one of them all the time. And I thought, they're dead good socks. I'm going to sew them. So I got wool and a big needle and I darned it.
I was going to say.
Old-fashioned wife.
Yeah.
I felt dead like, I'm made up. We haven't had to throw them out.
It's a nice feeling, isn't it? Because you feel like you've contributed and you feel like, not that you don't contribute, Kate. No. But you feel like you've done well.
But I mean, now the pubs are back open. There's no fucking way I'm sewing socks. No way.
Just get down to Primark, mate. You can get 400 for a quid.
They've got Corona on draft in the pub by ours now. No way I'm sewing socks.
Do you want another drink, Kate? He can darn his own socks.
Could bring me down into the pub with me.
You could. You could be that weird old woman in the corner that smells of cats.
Here's an example of people fixing things. So when we said about teeth, so people don't want to pay for the dentist, do they?
No.
And years ago, I worked in a pub when it was like an old man's pub. And so there was a man in the pub who was renowned for doing like dentistry. So we were sat there in the pub one Saturday afternoon and the racing was on. And one of the other older guys comes in and goes up to this man and goes, "You're still fixing teeth?" And he went, yeah, I can. And he went, "Oh, I've got this tooth in the back of my mouth, it's killing. And I don't want to pay the dentist because it's a rip-off. Will you take it out for me?" And he went,
Oh my God.
So they went to the landlady's husband, "Have you got a pair of pliers there?" And he went, "Yeah, hold on." And he went to me, "Boil a kettle." And I was like, "Oh, what's that going to do? Oh. This is a pub, it's not a surgery." Anyway, he got the pliers, went in his mouth, pulled the tooth out. The man took a swig of his pint of Guinness and went, "Get him a pint."
Oh my God.
That saved me 70 quid.
But that doesn't take any kind of like know-how, does it? That just takes a certain kind of individual who's willing to do that.
And a certain kind of individual who's dead hard, who can just sit there and go, "Yeah, just take it out with pliers."
Whip it out. Oh my God. Being a dentist, I used to think would be quite a good job. But I actually think it would be horrendous because you've got to deal with people's mouths. Well, that's it, isn't it? That's all you do. Mouths, teeth, tongues.
Because I'd have like they'd walk in and I'd look at them and go, "I don't mind looking in your mouth. There's no way I'm looking in your mouth. Out. You're not welcome in my dentist."
Yes, yes, no chance.
Get out, dog breath.
There's mints on the side. I know there's sugar in them, but, you know.
And that's why I'm not a dentist.
Not because you haven't trained, because of that
this,
attitude.
This leads us into the next subject that we want to try and fix.
Does it? Quite nicely.
Well, maybe.
What's the next subject?
The pressure of social media.
The pressure of social media. And if you're not feeling the pressure of social media, then fair play to you. And
you're not on social media.
You're not on that's social media. Me dad doesn't feel the pressure of social media because he's 73 and he still uses teletext.
Oh, but teletext.
Social media is such an important part of our lives, isn't it? And it's hard to like sort of detract what we do on a daily basis away from it if you use those sites.
It's become daily life.
It's horrible. Every site makes you feel in a different way, I think. You know, like Twitter makes you angry. Instagram makes you feel ugly. Facebook makes you jealous. LinkedIn makes you feel like you're not very productive. TikTok makes you feel old. And Friends Reunited, if you're still using that, then come on. You've got a colour telly.
I Googled Friends Reunited to see if it was still going. So I had to do a bit of digging.
And is it?
I can't remember now. I think I was drunk when I was Googling it. But that was like the precursor to Facebook, wasn't it?
That and MySpace.
I didn't know.
I was on MySpace, but I never used it. I just started an account.
When MySpace came out, that was my heyday of being me. So I wasn't really online much.
Yeah.
I was out just living my life. I'd probably be well into it now, though, because I've got no much of a life.
But isn't living your life more important than telling people how you're living your life? Because that's all we do on social media, isn't it? We tell people, "Look how amazing my life is." And then you get the opposite. You get the people going, "I'm just trying to show you how real I am, guys. And here's a clearly concocted picture of something that looks a bit rough," which is something in the middle is probably the right place, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I mean, I can see the irony of us moaning about social media while we're doing a podcast.
I use it all the time. I've got quite good at it, but I still don't like it.
No, I don't really take it seriously. I'm not an oversharer with personal stuff.
Mm.
Those people can get in the bin.
Yeah. The naked pictures get me. I don't mind if you're gonna put a naked picture on. That's your account. That's fine. But if
who's
I'm
posting naked pictures?
Well, you're following the wrong people, Kate. I'll give you some links. Okay. I'll put the links in the podcast description. It's just me. It's a bit weird. I'm on Instagram, right, and I follow a lot of, because I started a parent blog years ago, so I ended up with a load of mummy bloggers following me, so I followed them back, just being polite, and never read the stuff, but now and again I'll be in the queue in the middle of Greg's, and I'll just whip out my phone, because that's what you do when you're slightly bored, you look at your phone, and I'll open it, and there'll be a woman, like, with a video of a breastfeeding her kids, or showing, like, a stretch marks, and listen, I'm all for, like, body positivity and all of that. And if you want to post that, maybe I'm following the wrong accounts and I should be looking at them in Greg's. But the thing that gets me is when you get someone and they'll post, like, a picture, a motivational picture saying, we don't all have to look ripped. We don't all have to look good. You know, some of us look like this, and that's great. But don't post every day. You don't need to post a different picture every day. We get the point. Stop putting fat pictures on Facebook.
Fat pictures.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to put more than one up, do you? Surely one's enough. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think a lot of people use social media because they wouldn't have that forum, obviously, to tell people that they're not bothered about how they look.
But it's
hard to do this subject without being judgmental.
But I
was saying to you, what I really hate are the bloggers and the influencers.
Yeah.
Who were like, no, you know, don't look in mirrors, guys. Mirrors are the devil. But it's the influencers are really beautiful, model-esque.
Yeah.
Don't be using filters, guys. I'll use a filter if I want.
Some of us need filters.
God, I think it's all about balance.
I wish I had a filter I could like wear in real life, like a visor, just to I don't know, take the edge off me face.
So like, tights work.
Tights.
You're like an armed robber.
Oh yeah. Good idea. Just don't go to the bank on
put
that
your glasses
day.
On over them. I look really good today.
Is that Sam? Has he changed race? Yeah, I'm transitioning to a different ethnicity. That'd be amazing. The influencers, you know, and the fact that people constantly, those people who constantly tell people they don't care what anyone thinks, they definitely care what people think, yeah. Don't they?
Hashtag just saying, but hey, that's just me. Those people, shut up.
Shut up. That's not you.
That's not you.
But then, is it their fault or is it the fact that we're all just like, we're just slaves to this?
It's made everyone braver.
It's made everyone stupid. And it's also made everyone just live in their own bubble and just follow like the people who
and
like
everyone's
this
a big
stuff.
Show off.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, ooh, a Christmas watch. Ooh, boy done good. One Christmas I got an escort. Not an escort. An exhaust.
Sounds like a good Christmas to me.
One Christmas I got an exhaust for my car because it needs a new exhaust, and I posted a picture of it and put underneath hashtag boy done good.
Boy done good.
Because I get so sick of that. It's just, it's pressure.
Yeah, well, it's pressure to compete, and we're all, you know, it's bad enough anyway. And also, you end up starting to dislike people because of what they put on social media, and then, like, often you meet them in real life, and you're like, they're all right, we can get on,
You think that, but then you post something, and you go, oh, God. Only geez, I've known you. I didn't realise you were a misogynist, racist dickhead.
Bit of that as well.
So then you'd have to like just.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? It's like, how do you manage your time on it? Because we're all addicted to our phones. You just whip your phone out and start looking through, you know, all sorts
of
stuff.
I've started to put my phone upstairs.
Good idea.
Yeah. But then I go, I'm just going for a week. And then I've gone for like an hour, sat on the bed.
Ooh, the boy done good. How did he wrap the exhaust? Did he wrap it?
No, he just paid the mechanic for me. But that was my Christmas present. So I was happy with that.
It was put on the car when you...
Yeah, I needed one. And we never know what to buy each other because we're just like, we're not one of those gifty couples who like does big extravagant gifts or nothing like that.
You don't need that after the first couple of years. It's like, just get me an exhaust. I need me socks, darling.
And he did.
Do you know what? We need a new bog seat.
We live a very humble lifestyle.
And I'd rather hate him.
One year he said, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I want a ring. And he nearly had a breakdown. I was like, not that kind of ring. Chill out. No.
I want you to ring me from somewhere else.
I still didn't get one, though.
But I would like I've got little kids, haven't I? They're 6 years old, and I'm terrified of them growing up and what social media is going to be like then, and the effect it's going to have on them. Because growing up's hard enough as it is, isn't it, when you're a teenager? Can you imagine the added pressure of having to pretend your life's amazing when it's not?
No, I know. I couldn't imagine that when I wouldn't have handled it very well. I probably would have ended up encouraging paedophiles or something by accident. I'm glad you said by accident. I just feel like it's a slippery slope. And that's why I can't imagine letting a child have social media until they're 18. There should be a lower age limit to go on anything, I think. You should need to prove it.
Yeah, it's not good for your brain, is it? It's not good for your mind. And like, life's all about living and living in the moment. And I find myself just in the middle of a brilliant moment. I'm thinking, oh, what's the best angle for a picture? Like, or what status can I write about this? Like, get real. Come on. Live in the moment. Like, I'm trying to propose to my wife here. And I'm trying to write a little tweet that might get 4 likes.
It's sad, isn't it?
It's sad.
We're just needy, attention-seeking people, but we all are, so you can't feel like it's just you.
No, and me and you are comedians, and we're doing a podcast, so there's a big part
What's
of that.
What's more needed
play.
Than that?
Yeah. Please like us on social media.
Please like
as well.
Us. But then I was watching the football yesterday, and it was like fans allowed back for the first time in months, and somebody's like in the stand filming it.
Oh.
I was like, if I was a steward, I'd go over and just
life ban.
Get him in a headlock and throw him out. Doesn't deserve to be there.
No, if you can't live in the moment, you shouldn't have the moment. Maybe that's how we fix it. I know a lot of comedy shows in America, they've started, like the big acts, they've started banning phones from comedy shows because people are just filming it and putting stuff online, but also not living in that moment that you're trying to create. And, you know, maybe that's something that we need to do, ban phones from certain situations. Or
then how are we going to get the perfect Instagram picture if we ban phones? Come on, Sam.
I don't know. What's your favourite filter? Have you got one?
I don't know what it's called. I just don't know what it's called. It's just like, not a big, massive enhancement, I don't think.
So you're kind of tricking people that it's real?
Well, I'm not tricking people because this is what I do with social media. I have balance. So if sometimes I'll post a picture of myself or with my mates and I look nice and I'm dressed up to go out. But then sometimes I will post a picture of me looking absolutely dog-eared and haggard. For instance, on Sunday morning, I had a really bad... Well, I'd had a big night out. I didn't have a hangover, but I looked rough. And I posted that picture because it's balance and realism.
Yeah.
And nobody looks 100% all the time. But we're all following these people and you only put the best things out there. So I think we just all have to learn to balance that out and show our real selves sometimes. Yeah.
And also, as someone who's looking at stuff like that, you got to understand that's their best moment of the day, and you're comparing that with your worst moment of the day.
Well, for instance, the DPD man terrored me by taking a picture of me while I was getting a parcel.
Ah, those bastards.
And it was on the Ring doorbell, and my son's girlfriend sent me a screenshot of it, and I was like, oh my God.
But nobody looks good when they're bending down to pick a parcel.
And I had trainer socks on. Somebody else's sliders. I just looked the worst I've ever looked. And I thought, how can I just... I've got to take ownership of this. So I just posted it online.
Oh, good.
Because
good for you.
Nobody looks good all the time.
No. And why should we? I think... Well, how do you think we've done this week?
Did we fix things?
I'm not sure we fixed it. I think we tried.
We tried to fix it. And if ever there's an allegory for fixing things, it's that.
Love the word allegory.
No.
At this time of the day. And what about the pressure of social media? I think we got some points across. But the thing is, I preach, I don't practice.
I just don't feel pressured by it.
Good for you. And if you feel pressured by social media...
Someone gets a new fitted kitchen, then I feel pressured to get a new fitted kitchen.
Different gravy, innit? Look at that island. We haven't got an island. We've got a peninsula. So if you're feeling pressured by social media, please follow us on social media.
Follow us.
You can subscribe to the podcast and you can find us on YouTube as well.
You can.
And in the meantime, Kate, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye to the listeners.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Get in touch.